5 bleeding wounds he bare. Those are his hands, his feet, and his side. 5 bleeding wounds. My God is reconciled by those 5 bleeding wounds. Most of the time I pick the hymns. Sometimes John picks them, and he picked those this morning. I believe if he picked them every time, he would pick that hymn every time. But that's fine with me. I love it, don't you? Obviously. John chapter 20. Our Lord had just risen from the grave and appeared to Mary, and now is going to appear to his disciples. Let's hope he appears to us. You know, everything we believe about God, about man, about life and death, life after death, is based on Jesus Christ. Everything. Who he is, what he did, everything he said, we believe. And everything we believe about him, who he is, what he did, and what he said, everything is based on the fact that he arose from the grave. He arose from the dead. Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ is not risen, let's just eat and drink. Tomorrow we die. There's nothing to that. But he said, but Christ is risen. He is alive. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1 first. Acts chapter 1. Everything depends. Everything he said, who he is, what he did, what he said, depends on the fact, based on the fact that he arose from the dead. And he's the only man who ever did that. The only man who, there were some who were raised from the dead. But the only man who, of his own power, and he said, I have this power. I lay down my life and pick it up again. And one day, and he said, according to his word, he said, I'm going to be in the grave 3 days and I'm going to walk out. And he did. He's alive. So everything we believe depends on him who's alive. Acts chapter 1, there was a poll taken of so-called clergymen, preachers so-called, back in near the year 2000. 10,000 so-called preachers were polled, surveyed, and they asked them questions like, do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ? Do you believe in the actual creation of the world by God? And they asked them this question, do you believe in the actual physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? 10,000 preachers. 7,500 of them responded. And out of those 7,500, 51% of Methodists said, no, we don't believe that Christ actually arose from the dead. 33% of Presbyterians, you know where Presbyterian came from? John Calvin. They said, no, we don't believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. 33% of Baptists. Jeanette just went, that's what I did. Baptists, good old Bible-believing Baptists, blood, the book, and the blessed hope, said, no, we don't believe he arose from the grave. Well, then you have no hope. And they really, you cannot know the living God. You cannot know the living God and the living Christ and believe he didn't. He's dead. Acts 1, verse 2. Now, notice with me. The day which he was taken up, after that, he threw the Holy Ghost. Now, every word is significant. The Holy Ghost gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. His chosen ones, the Holy Ghost sent. To whom, verse 3, to whom he showed himself alive He didn't show himself to everybody. When he arose from the grave, who was the first person he showed himself to? He didn't go into Jerusalem and stand in the temple and I'm alive. No. He didn't come to this earth to try to get anybody to believe on him. He came to die for his people. All right? When he arose from the grave, he went back to those people whom he lived and died for to tell them, see? Look, I'm alive. He didn't appear to everybody. And he doesn't today. He showed himself alive after his passion or crucifixion with many infallible proofs. There's not one thing that human beings can give me, one shred of evidence, so-called, that they could tell me, that anybody could come up with and make me disbelieve that God created this planet, everything of it, and controls every single thing in it. He showed me, I'm getting way ahead of myself, he has showed me his hands. I see clearly the heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his what? Handiwork. And all through my life, I'm way ahead of myself now. I couldn't wait to get to this. Showed him his hands. I know for a fact from Scripture and my own personal experience, I'm in his hands. I'm so glad. He showed me his hands. I'm so glad that my God has hands. And I'm in them. Whew. I'd live in a cave somewhere if that weren't so. Well, I am living in a cave. Cleft of the rock. I just finished my whole message. Anyway, it said in verse 3, he showed to them many infallible proofs, being seen of them. Who? Who's he see? Who saw him? The world didn't see him. He did not go out in public and show everybody. His disciples. 40 days, speaking to them. He spoke to them. He showed them. He spoke to them. They heard his word. The world didn't. They believe. They knew. And they went out there. He's alive. No, he's not. Yes, he is. How do you know? He spoke to me. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, if he speaks to you, he would. He showed me. His hands, his side. So, and this is what Revelation 1 says. You know, in the end, he says, turn there, Revelation 1. This is it. This is the end. In the end, when he's going to show all his people are going to see him who was dead, and yet he's alive. I love this. Don't you? Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto who? His servants. Things that must shortly come to pass, and all that he wrote concerning Christ. Down in verse 18 now, and he says, you know, John turned, he heard a voice. John heard the voice. And he turned, and he saw someone sitting on the throne. And verse 18, here's what he said. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Lord. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, the things which are and the things which shall be after, hereafter. And he goes on to say, tell it to the churches. Didn't it? Now, John 20. Now go to John 20. So he lived. Our Lord lived. Living God, living Christ. And you know, it's just like, you know, when he was crucified, it says that the graves opened and many came out. Many of the dead saints came out of the graves and walked into town. They were quickened. Those who were dead were quickened by the cross of Christ. You know that? Why didn't people believe that? Look, he was dead. He's alive. Look at me. They won't believe you. The one rose from the dead. That's not going to do it. He's going to have to speak to you. He's going to tell every one of these disciples, peace be unto you. I'm talking to you. Oh, that he would. The first day, John 20, verse 19. The same day at evening, the first day of the week. Here we go again. The Lord came on the first day of the week. The doors were shut. The disciples were there. Who was assembled? Who was meeting together on the first day? His disciples. Why were they his disciples? Who were these men and where did they come from? The Lord chose them. The Lord went out rounding them up. The Lord went out calling them. Disciples means a follower, a student of Christ. And the Lord went out and he chose them one by one and said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And he walked and they followed him. And they dropped everybody and everything. And they sat with him. And they heard his voice. And they saw his person, his glory. And they peace. Peace. The first day of the week, the disciples were assembled. Why? Well, the Lord told them to. And the Lord tells us to meet together then. The mighty God hath spoken from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Gather my people together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Gather together. Why? I'm going to be in the middle of you. And brothers and sisters, I'm afraid not to. I'm afraid not to meet. I'll miss him. And no telling what I'll do if I don't come here. Where I'll be and how I end up. He said meet. Can't get here fast enough. My command, it's a command to assemble together. It's out of desire. God's people desire. Verse 19 says the doors were shut. The doors were shut. Well, then Christ came in, didn't it? Now, how many times do you hear it in religion? He's outside your heart's door. And he can't come in. There's no knob on the outside. There's no knob on the outside. No. I keep repeating this because this is what all religion believes today. Without exception, Methodist, Baptist, the ones that say he didn't ride, believe he's outside. It's up to you to let him in. Brother John, our Christ is the door, isn't he? He comes and goes, he's pleasing. And I'm so thankful. Because I've barred the door all my life. No, you're not coming. The story of David, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ so clearly. David was coming into Jerusalem. That's his city. He's going to take it like he takes his people. All right? It was full of heathen. It was full of idols. The Jebusites lived in that town. It was not the city of David yet. It's going to be. It's the city of idols, idolaters, unbelievers. All right? You know what they said? They're all hanging over the wall saying, David can't come in here. He can't come in here. You know what the next verse says? He took it. He can't come in here unless we open the door. He broke it down. He came in. John and I changed the words of that chorus we sing all the time. Lord Jesus, it said, Lord Jesus came by my heart's door one day. And we changed it to, he broke down my heart's door. Like the woman, the beloved, our Lord stuck his hand through the door. Just tell her I've been here. Now you come beg at my door. I might let you in. So the Lord came. All right, they're assembled together on the first day of the week. So are we, aren't we? The church, this is the door. Okay, Christ. And Christ was in the midst of them. He was in the middle of them. He came into where they were. Didn't our Lord say where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Didn't he say that? Do you want the Lord to be with you? Do you need the Lord to speak to you this morning? Do you? All you got to do is show up in His name for His glory, you know. Do you need a refuge? Do you need strength? Do you need peace? Do you need Him to speak peace to your heart? You got any war, any turmoil going on, any inward and outward conflict going on? Any doubts and fears and worries and trouble? The disciples were assembled for fear. They feared for their lives. Do you need some peace? Well, He speaks peace to His people that gathered together in His name. He is in the midst of, and He speaks. He kept saying this over and over again, didn't He? Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Listen, though the earth be removed. I got to holler this. Though the mountains be carried away. Oh, look, global warming. Good. It means Christ is coming. Though the waters roar. Look, tsunami. Good. Wash us away. Wash us on into glory. The river, there's a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God, the holy place, the church, the tabernacles of the Most High, where God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. You come early like Mary Magdalene. You know what's going to happen? He's going to appear to you. And He's going to speak peace to you. You. Me? Mary Magdalene? Yes, that's who He came for. So it says, our Lord stood in the midst of them. And here's what He said in our text. He stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, His disciples, peace be unto you. Each one of them. He's looking at all of them. And you know, the Lord must look at us, in us, doesn't He? The preacher can't do it. Nobody can do it. But when the Lord looks at you, like old Simon Peter, when he denied the Lord, you know, did it three times. And he turned and the Lord looked at him. Just killed him. And a little while later, he heard that they were all meeting together. And he, I got to go. Because the Lord looked at him. And now He's looking to him for mercy, for peace. He's so troubled. Well, he came. And He said, peace be unto you. Peace. And then in verse 20, when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, they were so glad when they saw His hands and His side. They saw Him. See, that's Him. It's His body. That's the Lord. They saw the Lord. It says when they saw the Lord, they were so glad. Aren't you glad that the Lord has shown you that He is Lord? That He's not just Jesus? Aren't you glad? If He's really shown you that He's Lord, you know what you call Him? Lord. Thomas, my Lord and my God. We saw those hands in His hands. He showed them that He's Lord, and He showed us that He's Lord. And we see it clearly. Overall, Lord over life and death. Lord over us and them. Lord over all. Lord our shepherd. If you're a sheep, boy, you need a shepherd. No, prone to wander. Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Sidkenu. Does it matter that you know that name? Oh. You need to know Him who is your righteousness. You don't have any. Oh, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Shalom. That's His name. The Lord our peace. Thou only makest me to dwell safely. Salvation is of the Lord, Jehovah Shalom. And He come to them again and says, peace. And to you that know my name. Psalm 19, I love this. It says, great peace have those who love thy law. Psalm 119. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Those who love the Lord, his word, nothing is going to upset them too much, okay? There was one person that was not with them, and we'll look at that maybe Wednesday night. Thomas. Thomas. You just happened to bear his name, Thomas. But there have been times I haven't been with him. There's been times I've been in where he is and wasn't there. Anybody? You didn't hear a thing he said. He hadn't come in his name. He hadn't come to be blessed. And other things were, you know, taking up your mind. And then when you left, you got nothing. He didn't speak peace to you. Anybody? Happens all the time. But Thomas was not with them. What was he doing? Whatever it wasn't worth it. Whatever it was, he wished he hadn't done it. Who was he with? He wasn't with the disciples. They were with the Lord. Oh, he regretted that. He was full of so much doubt, so fear. He said, I will not believe. But the Lord had to show him the same thing. The Lord had to say to him the same thing. You know, our Lord said in Isaiah 48 and 57, no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. Who are the wicked? He said in Isaiah, he said, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. Didn't it? Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with them. Say unto the wicked, woe is unto them. Who's righteous? Somebody give me one word now that is our righteousness before God. Just one word. Anybody, male or female. Christ. Louder.
Christ.
You really believe that? Do you really believe that? There's nothing you do, have done, or don't do that is your hope of heaven. Do you really believe that hope? Helen, hope? Elizabeth? Joseph? Do you? John? Do you? Karen? Do you really believe that? You really trust Christ alone, do you? Peace be unto you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's the Lord, your righteousness. Ah, boy. Where am I? That's Psalm 119. Great peace of those who love. Nothing shall offend them. And he said, he showed them his hands and his side. All right, look at this. He showed them his hands. And his side. And he still does. He showed them the hands of our Creator. And I quoted Psalm 8 a while ago. It said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, the heavens are the work of his hands. It says he made man, have made Christ to have dominion over the work of his hand. This God who created all things became a man. God was manifest in the flesh. He had hands. Now once again, all who say he has no hands, but your hands, they haven't seen his hands. Huh? That's very simple, isn't it? If a man stands up and tells you God has no hands but your hand, get up quick and walk out. You need to go where a man is telling you about the God who has hands. That maybe the Lord will show you his hands. That he created all things by the work of his hands. He upholds all things by his hands. Everything is in his hands. The God in whose hands your breath is. Everybody was so fearful of germs and this and that and the other just a few years ago. The God in whose hands your breath is. Whatever you get, God gave it to you. Whatever you don't get, God kept you from it. Is that right? The God in whose hand you have no peace. There is no peace to those that don't believe. This God in whose hands everything is. No peace. How could you have any peace? God didn't want that to happen. Then why did he let it? But he shows his people his hands. You're in my hands. You're in my hand. Oh, they're good hands, aren't they? They're loving hands. They're merciful hands. You know, hands are very unique. Hands, human beings only want, God created human beings with hands. You say monkeys have hands. No, they don't. They got a thumb that long. They can't write a symphony. They can't play a piano. They can hold a banana. That's right. But God made man with his hands. Think of it. And they're all unique. Every single one is different. All the fingerprint. That's proof. Your thumbprint's proof God is. What a fool. What a fool this world is. Okay, these things. Do brain surgery. Play an instrument. You've seen people play a piano. You say, that's not human. That's not possible for them to do that. Who did that? Them? God made his hands. Well, God is the one whose hands made the hands. His hands made our hands. Okay? He's our creator. And it says that Christ is our creator. By him were all things created. Without him was nothing created. It wasn't when it was created. He is the hands of God. He showed them his hands, a sovereign Lord. Oh, what peace to know that we're in his hand. Everything is in his hand. Us, our children, our lives, our death, germs, everything. Your hair on your head is in his hands. The world says, I don't believe that. Well, I do. And I have peace that they don't have. He showed them his hands because there was something in his hands that they needed to see that proved who he was, proved that he was alive, proved what he did on Calvary's tree, proved that God accepted it, proved their salvation. What? Scars. Nail-scarred hands. Start smiling. Peace be unto you. How do we have peace with God? By the blood of his cross. Why doesn't the law that's against us hold everything against us? Why can there, who's he that condemned? Why is God justified? Because he nailed the handwriting of ordinances that were against us to the cross. Are you with me? All right, the soul that sinneth must surely die. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. How do I know? How can I know that I'm one of his? How can I know that he paid for my sin? How can I know for a fact that Jesus Christ died for me and God accepts me in the blood? How? Has he showed you his hands? He showed his disciples. Every one of them saw his hands. Old brother Ed Hale, John and I sing this chorus. I'll be looking for scars up in heaven. Scars that love held on the tree. Scars that turned judgment to mercy for a hell-deserving sinner like me. I know I'll see Moses and Elijah. Old Daniel and Samson I'll see. But I don't have much time to linger. I'm looking for the one that died for me. And I'll be looking for scars up in heaven. Scars that love held on the tree. That's who we're going to be looking for. That's the first thing he's going to show all his people. Look, I'm alive. I was dead. I lived for you. I died for you. I paid for you. I wrote your names on my palms, and I was pierced by you. Has he showed you his hand? I used to get great comfort looking at my dad's hands. You know, everybody's hands are different. You remember looking at your dad's hands, sitting in his lap and looking at his hands? And I look down now and I say,
These are my dad's hands. Don't you? That's my dad's hand. But I remember looking at his hands, and I thought those hands were the strongest hands on earth. I thought those hands could do anything. Those hands were my protection. Those hands were my father. I took great peace from looking at my dad's hands. One of the last things I saw, Steve, I held his hand. His feet. Nobody had hands like your dad's hand did. Hands that worked hard for you. Hands that provided for you. Hands you love. Hands that loved you. You got great peace from looking at his hand.
Has he showed you his hands?
Oh, my Lord has shown me. He's got hands. I'm in them. There's only going to be one person in glory that has any scars. Only one human person, flesh, that's scarred. He came here, he was without spot, without blemish, perfect, dew of youth on his brow. But in glory, he's going to have scars. And we're going to think he's the most beautiful person in all of heaven. Because we all got there because of his scars. Scar. And then he showed him his side. Look at this. In our text. He showed him his side. You remember John 19 where the soldier came by and took the spear and pierced his side? What came out? Blood and water. You remember that? One of our ladies said, I loved what you said about that. Love, sanctification, justification and sanctification. Justification by his blood, sanctification by his water, by his word. That came out of Christ's side. Well, you know what else came out? You remember that? You remember what else came out of his side? Like Eve came out of Adam's side, we came out of his side. Our Lord travailed in birth to give us life, didn't he? He died to give us life. And our Lord said this. He said to Moses, and he says it to you. Behold, there's a place by me, and I'm going to put you on the rock. You're going to stand on the rock. What's that rock? Come on. All right, you're going to stand on the rock, he said. And he said, I'm going to come by, and when I pass by, I'm going to put you in the rock. In the cleft of the rock. I'm going to wound this rock and open up this rock and put you in it. The side, the cleft of this rock. And I'm going to cover you. I'm going to roll a stone over it. And you go see my back part. You'll see my glory. That's Christ. Christ, the rock of ages, cleft for me. Have you seen Christ as the rock of ages cleft for you? His wounded side. And then he says in closing, here's what he said. Peace be unto you. When they saw his disciples, or disciples saw him, they were so glad. When they saw his hand, they saw his side, they were so glad. They saw it's the Lord. Their creator, their righteousness, their peace. Then said it unto them again, one more time, verse 21. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And you. Whoever heard this, whoever the Lord spoke to. I hope he spoke. I believe he did. I see it on some of your things. Peace be unto you. Don't be faithless. Stop being faithless. Okay? Be not troubled, but believing. Be not fearful, but believing. It's peace by believing. How can we have this peace? And you know, they had this peace from then on that passeth understanding. That gave them all the grace and the strength and the courage to die in the faith, to die for Christ. How? How can we have this peace? Well, we've got to hear his voice. This peace that passeth understanding. Here's what Philippians said.
See, don't be full of care for anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, call upon the Lord. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And he went on to say, think on these things. Think on these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. Think on him. Stayed upon Jehovah. That's perfect peace. And then he said this in Colossians. He said this. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you're called in one body. Be thankful. Whatever it is, God sent it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. In the peace of God, we have peace. Today, if you'll hear his voice, he says, peace be with you. Okay, John, you come.